House will come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Lickry.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell. Campbell. Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel. Esquivel. Filer.
Here.
Freeman. Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton, Patton excused, Paxton,
here.
Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Semlick,
here.
Summers,
here.
Stebson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Walters,
here.
Watt,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Campbell, Campbell excused. Esquivel.
Here.
Green.
Excuse.
Green excused. 57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered today by Father August Caney, representing St. Mary's Cathedral, Cheyenne. And let us pray. St. Paul's letter to Timothy. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. A servant leader is one who serves first, even before leading. A servant leader puts the serving of others before one's own agenda. A servant leader listens with the heart and is aware of the needs of their people. A servant leader is not controlling, but brings an open heart and an open hand, and always seeks truth and justice. Lord God, all of your creation is a sign of your power and wisdom, which is given in love and service. St. Francis of Assisi, who lived in the 13th century, was always in awe of the handiwork of your creation, and saw how each created thing was in the service of other created things. Help us all to be a true servant in our communities, and help us always have a giving spirit and a heart full of integrity as we serve the communities of Wyoming. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, good to see you. Thank you.
Excuse me. Yeah. Hopefully he won't. I wonder if he knows.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker and 62nd representatives. I have the great honor of introducing and asking for privilege of the floor of a former representative, my good friend and mentor of appropriations for many years, former Representative Frank Philp. Welcome to the House.
Well, and go ahead and sit down, please. It's always nice to come down and get such a warm welcome for kind of a has-been, you know, and is what I am now. But it sure brings back a lot of good memories being here in this room and seeing all my old friends, and it's really great. You know, when I first came to the legislature, I was thinking about it. And I don't know, probably nobody in here was there then, because we had these old tin desks. They were kind of like, we're surplus. And these old, raggedy old chairs, you know. And the carpets were so bad that, you know, your pants up almost to your knees would be covered with fiber by night from walking on those old ratty carpets, which, in the color of them, nothing coordinated in the room, but finally we got the new desks, and it took a lot of criticism for investing in that, but, and it was kind of a time we were starting to get a little more revenue, but didn't have a lot, you know, but anyway, the place looks nice, and I think we can be proud of it, and I'm proud of the work you're doing. I know you've had a lot of tough issues this year, and I'm not going to criticize you on any of it, but some of it I kind of wondered about. But anyway, I remember how it was when some old legislator would come in and give you a big lecture over something, but it never worked very good, so I'm not going to do it. And but it's really nice to see y'all, and once again, thank you for the nice welcome. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Representative Philp, thank you for the kind visit, and you're always welcome to come back and share wisdom with us.
Oh, thank you.
Representative Croker, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Brothers and sisters of the 62nd, a quick background. I've got an informal resolution that Amber's going to pass around in a few minutes here. There is a company in Colorado, Magpul Industries, that makes firearm accessories, and they have announced that if a certain bill in Colorado passes, they are going to be moving their operations out of the state. I've got a resolution. I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read it basically acknowledges that they're a great company and Wyoming's a great place to do business, and ends with, "Now therefore be it resolved, the undersigned members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming, that on behalf of the state of Wyoming, we recognize Magpul's valuable contributions to firearm manufacturing and encourage the company to relocate its manufacturing and corporate facilities to the state of Wyoming." So if you would like to sign on to this, Amber will pass it around, and please add your name. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
I'd like to introduce my sister, Susan Jakowski, and her friend, Bev Jansen. They come over from the state hospital. They work there.
I'm glad you changed that. Welcome to the House. Chairman Semlett.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Late yesterday afternoon, the bread fairies mysteriously left a loaf of bread on your desk, and in the break room this morning, I understand that there was a lot of cinnamon rolls, which I have not had a chance to go in there yet to taste them, but you will be relieved that Representative Simlick did not make either one of those, even though my name is on it. But this morning, we have with us in the West Gallery, people who are responsible for those wonderful gifts. The bread and the cinnamon rolls were prepared by the Wyoming Wheat Marketing Commission. They have a trailer that was just down a ways here with a portable oven on it, and they made that, I believe, yesterday, along with them rolls yesterday. And again, they were prepared by the Wyoming Wheat Marketing Commission and the Wyoming Wheat Growers in cooperation with the National Quality Testing Group, the Plains Grain Incorporated. And in the gallery this morning, we have a couple folks who represent those organizations. Mr. John Watson, who's chairman of the commission, and a familiar face to a lot of us, Mr. Keith Kennedy, who is the executive director of the commission. So we thank you for your contributions.
Welcome to the House, gentlemen. Representative Esquivel.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Folks, in the North Gallery, we have a fifth grade class from Henderson Elementary, and that's Mr. Hardigan's class. Welcome to the House.
Welcome to the House, fifth graders.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Davison.
I just wonder, has this bread been inspected and everything's...
Representative Moniz, privilege of the floor. Representative Moniz, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 62nd, if I could, introduce my grandson, Kirby Hales. He's going to... He's going to be our page for the day. Try to get to know him if you can. He's a great young man. He's a seventh grader at Laramie Junior High School.
Yeah. Welcome to the House, Kirby. The doctor of the day today is Dr. Christina Berenger, M.D. from Cheyenne. The nurses of the day from the State Board of Nursing are Cynthia LeBond and Victoria Pike. Welcome to the House. Are there any more privileges of the floor? We're at that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 20th, 2013 has been read and recommends that be approved. Signed by Representative Fire and Winters.
With that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 360, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a light committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 175. The Senate conferees are Senator Burns, Chairman, Senator Landon, Senator Kraft, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 361, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a light committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 55. The Senate conferees are Senator Bebout, Chairman, Senator Hines, and Senator Cooper, signed by Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We are at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 66, engrossed state-funded conservation easements and restrictions, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Simlick, Winters, Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Simlick, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, the Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 136, engrossed. Seismic Exploration 3 respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Semlich, Winters, and Dan Zwanzer, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 137, Engrossed, Protection of Animals, respectfully reports saying back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Greer, Winters, and Dan Zwanzer. Those who voted no, Representatives Eklund, Hunt, McKim, and Semlich, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman.
With that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message 353 on House Bill number 133. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 353 for House Bill 133, Human Trafficking, and would ask for your aye vote. These are actually all suggestions that came from the bill sponsor, and she actually needed to make some clarifications, and they did this in a standing committee amendment, and these all work really well. So I would ask for your aye vote.
Any discussion? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 133. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Berger. Blake. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery. Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell. Excused. Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green. Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlich, Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
All right.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 133. The next message for our consideration is message number 357 on House Bill 94. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 357 to House Bill 94, immunization by pharmacists. And if you look at the report, the Senate deleted and medication. And so if you recall, this bill is about pharmacists administering medication. So they deleted medication and they inserted immunizations. And also inserted utilized for counseling and administrating. And that was referring to the space, the private space. And then the next part, the original bill had down to age 9, and the Senate amended that up to age 13. And those were some of the concerns that were expressed on this floor. I think they're good amendments, and I recommend that we concur with this report.
Any further discussion? Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would recommend that the body vote no, because we took that age. I'm trying to remember I may need some clarification as how it read before. I'm not sure I understand it.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could maybe add a little clarification for you there. We actually took it down to 7 years of age here. And actually what this amendment will do from the Senate, it's still at age 7, but any of them below the age of 13, they will not be required, if they don't want to give shots to or immunizations to children under 13. So it just kind of helps some of the people that, you know, had some concerns there. So I think this is a good amendment to just make a step, if you will, in the right direction. So I would encourage your aye vote. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Representative Eklund.
I'll withdraw my concerns, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 94. A majority of the members elected is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Aye. Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell excused. Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly. Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker, Crone,
aye.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace, Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Berger, aye to no. Halverson, no to aye. Filer, no to aye. Simlick, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Blevins, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed, 43 ayes, 16 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 94. The next message for our consideration is message 358 on House Bill 187. Chairman Berger, or Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Speaker, or whatever. Good morning. I move message 358 to House Bill 187 and ask for your concurrence on campaign finance, and I will defer to the good Majority Whip to explain the changes because they are substantial.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In standing on and in favor of concurrence, I did, however, want that these are substantive changes, so I did want the body to understand them before we voted. And the Senate really did two things, both of which I think are good ideas. One, they called out on page 3 of the bill a provision that they sort of called the Mulligan provision, and that was the provision that basically said you had to have one violation before really there was any punishment for a violation of giving or violating the campaign donation laws. And so what they did is they inserted a penalty for the first violation of up to $5,000, and then if there's a second violation, it goes up to $10,000. So that, I think, makes some good sense. The other change they did is they essentially doubled the limits throughout the bill. And just to walk you through that a little bit, if you remember, we raised the amount for statewide elected officials per election to $2,500, but we had left all other elections at $1,000. They went ahead and raised that to $2,500. There has been for a long time a cap on the total political contributions that an individual or that somebody can give in an election, and this is to really any candidates, and that was at $25,000. They raised that to $50,000. On the PAC limits, and I'll tell you, my philosophy for this whole bill has been to establish a limit, just so there wasn't this sort of free-for-all in the area of PACs. But they raised those limits. We had $5,000 per election on statewide elections, and they increased that to $10,000. And then we had $2,000 per election for all other elections for PACs, and they raised that to $4,000. So I think I support those changes. The amounts that are in law right now have been there for a long time. This gives folks, you know, the ability to support candidates, but it puts reasonable limits on it. So I would ask for your aye vote on the concurrence.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You'll notice I'm a co-sponsor on this bill. While I agree with many of the changes the Senate made, I think we ought to at least have a conversation with them about some of the limits. Our campaigns in Wyoming are not particularly expensive when compared to other places, and I think with some of the limits, I think are a little too high, and it would be possible basically for, you know, three or four huge contributors to provide all the money that one might need for some of our smaller races. So I do have some concerns about these limits. It's more than I anticipated when I signed on to the bill, and I would urge you to vote no.
Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would ask for a no vote. We're talking a lot of money. I mean, you can have 10 people making $50,000 contributions and really sway an election, and I don't think that's what the election should be about. It still needs to go down to a little more of a door-to-door, mouth-to-mouth type of situation when you're out there getting votes, let people know, and it shouldn't be about buying TV ads and big newspaper print media. So I would ask for a no vote.
Anyone else for your first time? First time? Second time? Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, one of the, when you're looking at campaign finance, a couple of the concerns, and I certainly, you know, I don't think most campaigns will implicate these higher levels, but you have to have some concerns about a system that allows someone with great individual wealth to come in and just overwhelm all their opponents. And so I think if we set up a system that makes it easier for candidates to raise money, it helps fight that situation where somebody with great personal wealth can come in and just dominate a race. It also, I think, you know, if we can get a system that's transparent, which I believe this system is, and make it easier for candidates to raise money so that they're spending less time raising money and more time actually spending time with their constituents, studying issues, working on issues, I think that's a good thing, and I think that's what this bill does. So, again, I'd urge your aye vote.
We're voting on amendments to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 187. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger. Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Lickry.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell excused. Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Pipirinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters. Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 18 aye, 41 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 187. Conference Committee on House Bill 187 will be Stubson, Chair, Throne, and Halverson. The next message for our consideration is message number 359 on House Bill 215. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 359 with regard to House Bill 215. If you look at the concurrence request, what they did is relax the maximums in the two categories. I was there when the other House was doing their magic on this, and I didn't think they used the right kind of logic or reasoning, but I don't think that it was fatal either. So I recommend a yes vote on the concurrence. Thank you.
Any other discussion? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 215. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell excused. Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green. Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton. Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
With that order of business of consideration of joint conference committee reports, the first joint conference committee report for our consideration is joint conference committee report number 1 on House Bill 68, which is Senate message number 276. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message 276, which was originally House Bill 68, move the conference report on it. There were several. First of all, we kept all of the House amendments. We to the House, the Senate standing amendment, we further amended the engrossed copy. And if you'll look on your conference report, it says page 2, lines 1 and 2, delete and insert. Here's what we deleted. Development of a proposed plan for providing care most effectively and efficiently to the clients of the Life Resource Center, and if transition to community services recommended, a plan for that transition that meets all legal requirements and considers input from guardians. What we changed it to was development of a proposed plan for providing care most efficiently and effectively to the clients of the Life Resource Center, and if
transition of certain clients of the Life Resource Center to community services is recommended. And then it goes on to say a plan for that transition meets all legal requirements, et cetera. And then if you turn to the second page of the report, we deleted, we kept number 10, and then, number 9, opportunities to reduce the overhead and other operational costs of the center. We kept that one, but we deleted the effect of the net cost of the state if clients with severe developmental disabilities were admitted to the center from other states. So what we took out was the ability for other states to move clients into Wyoming. Number one, we're so expensive, not many states. Actually, there's only one other state that has a state institution, and they weren't interested at our price. So we deleted that. And then further down, we amended that in order to give the Department of Health the ability to do this, we kept the Senate amendment adding $50,000 to contract with experts and consultants and consultants for purposes of conducting this study. And we also moved the reporting date from October to November to give them a longer time to be able to complete this study and still give the Labor Committee time to develop any legislation necessary. So I would urge you to vote aye on this concurrence, on this joint conference report.
Any other discussion? We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill Number 270, or House Bill Number 68. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd. Campbell excused. Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker. Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 68. We will have another Joint Conference Committee report. It's being circulated on House Bill 249. We'll vote on that one after third reading. Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 62nd, we have the other half of the fifth graders here from Henderson Elementary. It's Ms. Ketchum's fifth grade class.
Fifth graders, welcome to the House. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to real property.
Senate File 9 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16 from the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to aeronautics programs.
Senate File 16 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hear no objection. It is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29 from Senator Christensen, an act relating to motor vehicles.
Senate File 29 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hear no objection. It is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 75.
Senate File 75 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to state institutions.
We have a whole pile of amendments on Senate File 75. The first one is Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 75 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we had an interesting discussion about the source of horses that these facilities, correctional facilities, would be able to draw upon for the programs that they have. And as the state of Wyoming also has another pool of horses that we would like, I would offer, be available. And those are horses that are considered as strays when the Wyoming Livestock Board takes them on where no owner has been identified. And thus we have ownership of the animals. So I would suggest that the way this is done is because the Livestock Board has the ability to dispose of the horses. And that is actually the amendment, is to amend the definition of disposal in the astray laws to say that we can sell, transfer to a Wyoming correctional facility, send to slaughter, or destroy the animal. So this just gives the Wyoming Livestock Board another opportunity to address the astray horse issue. And just to be clear, 2 years ago, in one instance, we had 120 horses. So, folks, this isn't one or two horses here and there. This is a significant issue, and if you're in the northwest part of the state, you know about it. If you're in the southwest part of the state, you know about it. And actually, probably coming to a part of your state soon, we're going to have other issues, because this is an ongoing issue with the cost of feed and with folks not wanting to be responsible for the care of their animals. So, folks, what this does is say, the Livestock Board has the opportunity to send these horses to a correctional facility, and I would say these are probably horses that would do well for that purpose, and then the correctional facility would be able to train them, do whatever they need to do, and this is another opportunity to deal with Wyoming horses. Again, if you remember the bill from yesterday, the bill we're talking about, is we say we're going to limit this to Wyoming horses. Well, this is another opportunity for our horses, not the federal, another entity's horses, but horses that we're responsible for, a way for us to dispose of. So I would stand for any questions and ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Anyone care to stray into the discussion on this amendment for their first time? I'm going to throw them out there. You can hit them or not. First time, second time. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 75. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 75 has been adopted. We're now on second reading amendment number 2. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill or Senate File 75 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this does is basically take out an amendment that the Senate added to the bill. If you'll look on page 3 of the bill, you'll see there is a sentence starting on line 3, notwithstanding the provisions of this subsection, the department may take possession from the federal government or its agents of not more than 8 wild horses from outside the boundaries of the state in any 1 year for the purpose of any correctional facility program under this subsection. And what my amendment does is delete that entirely, so that the only horses they would be able to take would be those horses that are gathered inside the borders of Wyoming. Apparently the testimony in committee in favor of this provision was that people needed burros, but I would that there are sheep producers in the state that use burros as protection animals.
But I would point out to you that burros are, in fact, domestic livestock, and there are people who raise burros. And if you need burros for your sheep operation, you should go to the horse sale or the burro sale and buy some, instead of having our taxpayers pay for the inmates to train them and put all that into them. The other thing that we know is that the federal government is prevented from, if they need horses, if the Border Patrol needs horses, then they can only use Mustangs. And so in this case, if they need to buy Mustangs that are trained by the Wyoming Honor Farm, then they need to be Mustangs that are gathered within the borders of Wyoming and not brought in from California or Nevada. And that's simply the amendment, and I would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
There were about 8 burro puns that came to mind. I will spare you all of them. Chairman Semlach.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure if I'm one of those or not, but just gently push back on this amendment and just share with you some of the testimony in the committee. The good sponsor of this amendment did relay what we also heard, that there has been a request from time to time for special colors of horses and special breeds maybe of horses that are not found in Wyoming, and I think one of them was for the Honor Guard, and it would seem to me that the amount of horses we're talking about in the program right now is 206 that we heard in the testimony, and there's going to be a provision for 6 from out of state. So when you look at that percentage, I don't think it's something that's really concerning in terms of what this bill is trying to do. I think that added provision, coming from the director who's in charge of the Honor Farm, his testimony is that he would really like to see that left in there, and it is a very small amount. And I just think it adds credibility, really, to this bill, and adds credibility to the program at the correctional facilities that are working on these horses, that if they can keep them numbers up around 200, and then under special considerations and special needs, if they want a 6 or so that might come in from out of state, I think it just adds credibility to the program and just makes it that much better of a program to meet everybody's needs. And it's a great program. So just kind of gently pushing back on the amendment for the reasons that I heard based on the testimony on this bill in committee.
Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also echoing those concerns. It seems like the trend nowadays is that all of these western states on these kind of issues are working together. So once we start passing this type of legislation, I wouldn't be very surprised if some of our other counterparts who deal with horses are going to pass similar laws. And I think the reciprocity issue is important, that, you know, if there are some producers in Wyoming for whatever reason want a certain type of horse that we don't have, and we can get it's a benefit to the state and to our people in Wyoming if we can find the right kind of animal for their discretion. And I would hope as other states pass this, they have a similar reciprocity that, you know, they can start importing our horses should we need a goodwill agreement if somebody in another state wants a certain kind of breed or shape or color, et cetera. So it does allow a little bit of flexibility. It also has a little bit of protection just in case one of the horses, if we can have 8 throughout the facility, is visiting, stopping through, we're training it. We have a certain kind of practice or technique or a certain certified individual who can break a horse better that they could ship to us for a couple months. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns what we're going to do here on this bill. I'm never quite sure if I actually like the bill or not, but I think this is a necessary stipulation in the bill to just allow some flexibility. So I'd ask you to vote no for the amendment.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask you to vote yes for the amendment. I think that the abandoned horses and also the wild Mustangs should be the first priority in the state. We should take care of what we have first.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would point out to you that in the horse management areas within the borders of the state of Wyoming, annually, I don't have the exact number, didn't have a chance to look it up, but annually, the Bureau of Land Management is responsible for removing, I believe, several thousand head just to keep them to the numbers, the appropriate management levels of those HMAs, those horse management areas. I know that in it seems to me like in one season there was that didn't cover all of the HMAs, that number was up around 1,500 to 2,000 head. I could be wrong about those numbers, but my point is we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of horses, if not thousands, that are gathered on Wyoming lands that are potential horses for this program. I would also point out to you that we're not talking about different breeds here. We're talking about one bunch of feral Mustang horses. There are in this country, in this state, producers of literally every breed of horse, almost every breed of horse, every color of horse, every size, every shape of horse, from miniature ponies to Percheron draft horses, Appaloosas, Payne horses, quarter horses, bay horses, black horses, white horses. These are all people who are trying to make a living producing those horses. And these Mustangs are in direct competition with those equine producers. So I think that it's entirely reasonable for us to say that if we're going to have this program at the Honor Farm, that it needs to be Mustangs that are gathered in Wyoming only. And if there are customers who are looking for a particular kind of Mustang, I'll guarantee you that there are people who have adopted, and that option is available to them. They can adopt any wild Mustang they choose. And the fact is that in the last few years, BLM has had a program where they try to adopt these horses out, and they have only been successful in getting rid of about 3,000 of them in any one year. But there are 45,000 of them available for adoption. So there are horses out there available to people. We don't need to be importing horses from California or Nevada for this program.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 75. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 75 fails. We are all in favor, please rise. All opposed? Second reading amendment number 75 passes. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 75 passes. We're now on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 75. Representative Northrup.
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw second reading amendment number 3. Thank you.
Senator File 75 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 80.
Senate File 80 from Senator Netting, an act relating to duties of the state auditor.
Senate File 80 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 83.
Senate File 83 from Senator Peterson, an act relating to Medicaid.
Senate File 83 has a ream of amendments. First Amendment, Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I brought two amendments to this. The first one is a little bit simpler than the second. And even though it looks long, it's really fairly simple. I would move second read amendment number one and ask for your approval. And let me just, in generalities, this amendment does six things. Number one, in addition to the special prosecutor for the attorney general, it allows a district or county attorney to bring the action. So it just broadens the who can bring an action on behalf of the state for Medicaid fraud. So instead of just the attorney general, and in the way the bill is crafted now, it's just the attorney general, a district attorney or county attorney can do that. So that one's fairly simple. The next thing, and this is probably one of the major components of this change, it changes the treble damages claim so that if you're a recipient, so if you're a mother or a caregiver and you're a recipient of Medicaid, in other words, you're not a hospital, you're not a big time, you know, when they say we may get back millions and millions of dollars based upon possible fraud, I've changed the language in this so that if you're a mother and you improperly or falsely submit a claim for $200, they're not coming after you for treble damages plus attorney's fees plus the cost plus a fine of a minimum of $1,000 up to $5,000 for the first offense. What this does says is if you're a recipient, then they can only come after you for the amount that you wrongfully took. And so it's kind of like you get one shot at the apple before you're hit with treble damages. And it's only for recipients. So what this is meant to do is to protect that small the smaller person that likely is not going to go after anyway in the first place. But they're also subject to a fine, still up to $1,000 if they're doing significant criminal acts. But if they're caught doing something and you're recipient of the benefits, as opposed to a health care provider who's embezzling millions of dollars, you don't get treble damages the first time. But the second time, you can get treble damages if you're caught doing it again. So it's kind of it softens the punishment blow for just the recipients. So that's the third, that's the second thing. The next modification, which goes to page 8, lines 12, changes the from 10 years down to 7 years so that you can only bring a cause of action after 7 years after the effect as opposed to 10 years. So it's just, you're just shortening the window as to how long you can bring the cause of action. The next part, it's just a small tweak to the jurisdiction on where you can bring the claim. And what this does is it says that you can bring the claim where the offender lives or does business. And so what the intent of this correction is to say, look, if you're the attorney general and you're bringing causes of action in Cheyenne and you're bringing against an offender who lives in Evanston, it's not appropriate to make that person drive all the way to Cheyenne to defend themselves in court. You ought to do it where they live and where they reside or where they do business, one or the other. So it's just limiting that window a little bit. Next, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, this is a fraud. You're bringing a claim for fraud for someone's embezzling or misapplying for funds. And in almost all situations, that issue, in order to prove that, you have to prove it by a preponderance of the clear and convincing evidence. That means instead of it being a simple balance test, just whether they did or whether they didn't, it's not criminal, but you have to, it's clear and convincing. So you got to prove the case, and the judge has to be convinced, the judge or jury convinced that they actually fraudulently committed the act. So it's a little bit higher burden of proof, because that's what you're supposed to do with fraud, particularly for criminal fraud, it's way more than that. But fraud, and when you're doing treble damages, the burden should be slightly different. It should be a little harder. And then the last change in this amendment, this provision at page 9, lines 6, provides that if you plead guilty or nolo contendere to a criminal conviction, then you're stopped from a civil court from them coming after under this act. There's lots of reasons why a person may plead nolo contendere or guilty to a fraudulent act, primarily because if they only, let's say it was for $150, they can't afford a lawyer, and so they say, fine, I'll plead nolo contendere, just fine me, and I'll be done with it. This bill says if you do that, you can't go fight the treble damages claim, and that is, and so you can't even argue it. You're stopped from arguing you actually didn't fraudulently intend to do this act in the civil court. What this amendment does is says you can bring the evidence in of a criminal conviction, but that can't be used to stop you from arguing, well, I pled nolo contendere, but honest to God, I didn't do this. So that's what the last component of this. So I know that's kind of convoluted and kind of quick and dirty on the amendments, but if you have any questions about it, I'd be happy to take them and do it more slowly if necessary. Thank you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really appreciate the work on cleaning this up, but I do have a question on the changes on page 9, on lines 4 through 11, where he talks about if they just plead guilty or nolo contendere, is that going to create a situation where people just say, fine, I did it? And at least it would only be the penalty of what they frauded the government, and it would stop. And the reason for treble damages in the first place is to say, no, you can't do this. Not only no, but really no, 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 you can't do this. Three times you can't do this. And so, and I'm talking about the big frauders. Now, the small ones, I think this is perfect, but I'm talking about the people who deliberately steal, who deliberately file false claims. Does this give them an added protection from further criminal proceedings? I mean, because really, those are the guys we're going after. I mean, not talking about the little people that don't submit claims that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars or even tens of thousands of dollars. But, you know, in my own case, I carried a 10 wrong, and it was a $10 had to pay back. So I think that's fine if it's just after the little guys. But I really think that we need some teeth in the bill for those that are strongly and deliberately frauding Medicaid.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I think there are bits and pieces of this amendment that I could live with, but I think in the interest of efficiency, I'd urge all of you to resist this amendment. It substantially weakens the bill. There are a couple features I could, as I said, that could, if they came back separately, I could support. But just to highlight a couple. One, changing the burden of proof to clear and convincing evidence is one little phrase that guts the bill. This bill, while it's called Medicaid fraud, is really more of a False Claims Act. In fact, it specifically says it's not necessary to have specific intent to defraud. These are people or entities that are collecting state dollars, substantial state dollars. And if they make a false claim, there has to be a substantial penalty. That's the only way we can protect the state dollars. And if you make the burden of proof clear and convincing, that makes it all the harder to prove the cases. And so that is a substantial change. The venue change, saying that the person would have to be sued in the place where they conduct business, that's not major, But we would be treating these folks differently than we treat folks, for example, who violate our environmental regulations. If a company in the northern part of the states violates an environmental regulation, they can be sued there, or they can be sued in Laramie County. That's a very standard provision in a lot of our state enforcement statutes, that you can be sued either in the county where you conduct business or in Laramie County. And again, these are folks who are collecting substantial state dollars. So making them subject to suit in Laramie County, where the money comes from or where it's paid out, is not a huge burden. But I think on the whole, the safest course in order to protect the core of the bill would be to resist these amendments, and then if there are parts of them that we can all agree on, we can bring them back.
Majority Whip.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. The question I have is regarding that jurisdiction or venue provision, and I was just wondering, I would assume that there are some out-of-state providers that may be the target of a fraud claim. And the concern I would have, and I guess I want to know if it's ill-founded, is that we would be forcing our folks that are prosecuting these fraud actions to go outside the state and actually prosecute them in another state's court under that provision. So if you could answer that concern.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. First of all, I just really appreciate the fine work by the good bringer of the amendment. Some concerns were raised on this bill yesterday, and it looks like he really spent some valuable time making some very good changes to this bill. The one issue I wanted to discuss just for a moment was the clear and convincing evidence. I think that's a very good change, solely because you're not just going after these people for civil damages, you're going after them for treble damages, meaning triple. And that's a higher penalty than we normally do for most civil actions. If you're going to go for the higher penalty, then you got to have the higher standard that you got to prove. And just so you understand how this works, and this is how I always remembered it, someone could, you know, the preponderance of the evidence in a civil case is just 51%. You just got to show a little bit more than half, and you've proven your case. Clear and convincing is like 75%. You're not quite to 100%, so it's about 75%. And then in a criminal case, beyond a reasonable doubt, it's 100%. So if you think of these in percentages, and you think in a criminal case where you got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt at 100%, preponderance at 51%, all that the amendment's trying to do is say, hey, instead of just sort of proving it, you got to really prove it. You got to get it up to 75%. If you have a good case, you're going to get there. If you don't have a good case, you shouldn't have brought the case anyway. And then on the venue issue, you know, part of that is, so you've been charged with this civil complaint, and you may ask for a jury trial. I would assume that you would want people from your community, your peers, not people from some city, you know, down in the southeast that you may not know, and they may not understand, you know, maybe the culture of your community. So that sometimes that's why sometimes we talk about having trials held in the community where the incident occurred, so that you have the actual people of that community making the decision, not people of a separate community making the decision. Thank you.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Just talk briefly about this amendment. In committee this year, I introduced the same exact amendment to the same exact bill as we had last year. We didn't think it was going to be able to make it through the floor, so we pulled it. This amendment is tempered down from the amendment I brought in committee, which failed. I think it was 5-4 or 6-3. My concerns with the bill is that it's very draconian. And the testimony I heard from the AG's office, or at least from the email traffic, it seems to be very punitive. When we try to include the district attorneys and county attorneys, the AG's office said not only no, but heck no, we want to have sole possession for ourselves. And I think we need to take a tempered approach and make incremental changes to Medicaid reform. And I think this amendment goes in that direction. And I would urge your support of this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time on the amendment? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. And I'm not defending bad actors here. And there are certainly in the medical field a whole realm of bad actors. But you have to understand that there are all kinds of federal and state programs that exist out there already to take care of the bad actors. And I worry a lot about unintended consequences. This amendment takes care of most of my concerns with unintended consequences. I mean, right now we have a whole division of the Attorney General's Office, the Medicaid Fraud Unit, that's their whole job is to go out and detect and prosecute Medicaid fraud. And we make it a crime. And we have criminal statutes already on the books that make Medicaid fraud a crime. We also have a whole series of books of criminal statutes that make it a crime to steal from the state government, and those also apply. So now here we throw in a whole another piling on kind of thing, which is probably appropriate for those who would steal from our healthcare system. But raising the burden of proof, I think, is the most important thing. If you're going to ask for treble damages and you're not just going to ask for your money back, the preponderance evidence standard is the scales of justice just barely tips one way. The clear and convincing evidence standard means that if you're going to ask for treble damages, you should, as the state of Wyoming, make those scales tip and tip hard. And so on and for the amendment, I believe it's a good amendment to a good-hearted bill, but just maybe had some unintended consequences that this amendment addresses.
Anyone else for their first time? For their first time. Before the sponsor for the second time? Representative Nicholas, do you have all those questions ready?
Yes. The easy one in terms of whether or not this affects other abilities to prosecute under other Medicaid fraud acts, the answer is no. This amendment doesn't do anything to change what you can do for any other Medicaid fraud acts as proffered. It does nothing. And what we're talking about is whether or not if you plead guilty to this crime or to any crime, whether or not that's admissible or not admissible in a criminal proceeding. What this bill does, it says it is admissible. So that means if you plead guilty, that's admissible evidence. Unfortunately, the way the bill is drafted, it says you're stopped from arguing your innocence or at all. So this is kind of actually a compromise that says so that means the prosecutor can come in and says, look, he's pled guilty or nolo contendere to this argument. So that means that the fact that you've pled guilty is admissible. And that's a pretty that's more than clear and convincing that you committed the crime if you've already admitted to the crime, unless you've got some type of evidence where you can get up and say otherwise. So it doesn't really affect at all your ability during a criminal proceeding to or clarify, you know, give anyone a free shot or anything like that. It really doesn't. In fact, it's still fairly strong, and you'll see in my next amendment I changed that even again, because usually when you go to a civil suit, you got to prove the case. You can't just say, well, he pled guilty in someone else and that's enough. But in this provision, that's pretty simple. Now let's go to the burden of proof. I think that's been addressed already. The good legislator from my county said perhaps it should be preponderance of evidence. And I would submit that when you read this bill, not only are you responsible for treble damages, if you lose, you're responsible for all attorney's fees. And these cases aren't simple. So attorney's fees in bringing one of these matters against a large hospital or provider could easily be $50,000 to $100,000, very easily. So not only you get treble damages, you get attorney's fees, plus you get a fine. And so when you can be penalized that much, it just makes sense. And when you're dealing with fraudulent acts of significant nature, it needs to be a clear and convincing evidence. And you've already heard the other arguments regarding that. With regards to the jurisdictional issue raised by the good representative from Natrona County, what this says is it's either where you reside or do business. So if you're doing business in Wyoming, then you have jurisdiction in Wyoming, in the counties you do it. So we're not going to have to go to other states under this amendment in order to bring the action. So that's, once again, I can understand the concern, but the way this is crafted, you can bring the action in Wyoming where you're doing business. So it's either where you reside or you're doing business. So if you live here, then you do it where you reside. But if you're doing business, if you're a company in Colorado, you're doing business in Laramie County, you bring the action here. So I think that answers all the questions. And if there aren't any, I'd move for your support of the amendment.
Okay. The question being called on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 83. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 83 has passed the House. Privilege of the floor. Representative Baker?
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Temp. If you'll join me in welcoming in our South Gallery, we have the Clerk of the District Courts Association.
Welcome to the House. All right, we are on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 83. Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, I move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2 to Senate File 83. Essentially, this is a cleanup amendment to the bill. Yesterday, the good chairman of Judiciary raised concerns on page 5 on Romanet 3 about the inadvertent submission. While talking with LSO, we started discussing what is a political subdivision of the state. An example of that would be a hospital district, but we noticed that was not listed on page 2, line 17, so we incorporated it into that as well. And then on page 4, line 13, we're just clarifying that it's provided in this section. And I will stand for any questions. Anyone has any?
Seeing no discussion, calling for the question, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 83, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We are now on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 83. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. This actually does about 14 things. And so about half of them are already taken care of. So what I'm going to do is withdraw this amendment, and I'll come back with a shorter, sweeter one for third reading so it's easier for everyone to understand.
Yay. Thank you. Senate File 83 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now on second reading Senate File 84.
Senate File 84, introduced by Senator Scott, an act relating to insurance.
Senate File 84 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now on Senate File 86 for your consideration.
Senate File number 86 is presented by J.D. Anderson, an act relating to counties.
Representative Kirkbride, we have second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 86.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 86 and ask for your favorable consideration. If you would pull out the engrossed copy of Senate File 86, that's what I'm aiming to get back to. Yesterday we passed an amendment which took off the last 11 words on page 1 and in the process eliminated county's discretion to determine what days their offices are open. So the amendment simply takes us back to the engrossed version where we were at the start of yesterday. I sense that one of the reasons that the amendment passed yesterday is that there was concern that counties would act capriciously in establishing these holidays and days off. So I wanted to talk about how it really works. I talked to my clerk back home, and she polled the other 22 clerks in the state, and she found that 15 of the 19 who replied set their holidays and days off by resolution, and they do it in November through January of the year prior, like in November of 12, they were establishing the holidays for 2013. Some wait until right after the first year or so newly elected officials can be in on that decision, but I would guess for those 15 it's done by that first meeting in January. There were four others who replied. They set their holidays in policy and would occasionally set a holiday by a motion. But if it's done ahead of time like that, then it shows up in the minutes and it gets published in the newspaper and the legal ads, and then typically goes on the website, which all 23 counties have. So I decided to punch up a couple of websites and see what I could find. In my own county, the calendar and all those holidays appear on the front page, on the home page. If you go to this county where we're seated, the calendar and the holidays appear on the front page. I went to the Cole County up in the northeast part of the state, and I had to type holidays in the search, but it came up right away, and I found out that we already know that Christmas Eve afternoon, county offices in that county will be closed. So then I went to the Thermal County in the central part of the state and found the minutes from their meeting where on Christmas Eve afternoon, 8 months from now, they'll be closed. It's all there. I won't tell you that it's total uniformity. There are 23 counties. I won't tell you that on every website it's as easy to find as perhaps it should be. But I will tell you it's not willy-nilly. It's done very intentionally. If we go back to the engrossed version, we make legal a practice that I think is very common around the state, and that is giving, in particular, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, off to county employees. And one of the reasons that gets done is because there are a lot of these counties that may go years between raises, and that makes a nice little perk to have an extra day around the holidays sometime. And I think that you'd find that in a great many counties give that day off. If Christmas, for instance, is on a Tuesday, maybe they'd give part or all of that Monday preceding Christmas off. But going back to the engrossed version makes that practice legal for those counties. Counties have been in business for a long time, and they're led by some outstanding professionals, some of which we have with us as I speak. There's a history and a rhythm to their procedures. If the locals are upset about the holiday and day off schedule, they're not shy about telling their local elected officials about it. So I hope you'll pass the amendment. It makes the bill stronger and recognizes the realities of life back home in the 23 counties.
Any questions on second reading amendment 1 to Senate File 86?
Question?
Questions being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment carries. Senate File 86 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. We are now at that consideration of Senate File 90.
Senate File 90 is introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to state lands.
Senate File 90 has a second reading amendment number 1. Representative Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 90, and I would ask for your aye vote. Members of the legislature, this amendment I bring after some concern yesterday about the creation of these special revenue funds that this bill creates and the earmark that it would essentially create by putting the money of the sale of these properties into these special funds, and then they would basically be earmarked to the agency to be used in very specific ways. Traditionally, when we dispose of state land, the money generally flows back to the Permanent Land Income Fund, and this amendment would direct the sale of the money from the proceeds of the sale of those properties back to the Permanent Land Income Fund. I think it's worth talking about one more time because it's a divergence from our standard policy. I know that the body across the hall grappled with this same issue, and I bring it for your consideration.
Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Here again, members of the 62nd, I'll kind of gently push back again here. And I did have a conversation with the good chairman with respect to this issue. with regard to kind of setting up these special funds, and for the most part I have resisted that. But what I bring to you for your consideration of this amendment and urge some caution is I just wonder if this is the if it's the right time to consider this. And the reason I say that is that, first of all, this is an important provision, I think, that we have before us in this Senate file. It follows a study that we've done in the last couple years to kind of aggravate the management of our surplus lands, and I think we need to continue on with that, and I'm not sure this amendment is going to help that process. I would like to see us go forward with this. The other thing in terms of timing that I'm not sure about is on these acquired lands. These are not state trust lands. These are acquired lands, and they're handled differently. Where did this land come from? You know, did the state purchase them? In some cases, were they donated? Or a portion of them donated? I don't know that. And normally when folks donate land for certain purposes, they expect that donation to be used for that purposes. And what's contemplated here is taking out a section that would say that in the disposal of these lands that they would stay with those institutions for the health department and Department of Corrections and Family Services. So I just don't know that at this time. The other thing is, I guess my final point is that we have the legislative oversight, you know, within this provision already to say that if we get some income or revenue that's created for the disposal of these lands, that they can only be expended for capital construction or for major maintenance through a legislative appropriation. So I think there is that oversight there for that purpose. Until we answer these questions about, you know, where these lands come from, where in fact some of them donated with the idea that they donated them because of their special purpose for the project that was at hand. And the other thing, I guess my final point is, I don't know that there's going to be much revenue created here anyway. I think it's going to be very small, and if in fact in a year or two or three or down the road that we see there's some a large amount of funds are being created, then we can go back and pick them up and dump them back into the general fund. But I just think it's important that it's timely and topical that this provision to aggregate the management of these surplus lands go forward. And I'm just concerned that this amendment might create some problems there. So I would ask you to vote no.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Pushing back on the amendment, these acquired institutional lands were there to benefit the particular institute they are under, such as possibly the State Miners Hospital, some things like that. So the funds and income generated from these lands are supposed to flow back into that institution. So this changes that to flow back into the public common school account. And, the state of Wyoming already has a lot of state lands in those accounts, and the funding from that is rather large. These are actually very small numbers that go to these institutions. So I ask you to resist the amendment and support the bill.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was up there yesterday. One of the things that wasn't, I don't know if it was brought out real well, but was brought out in committee, was the act is hoping to address the highest use for the lands, or the it says the best use for these acquired lands, and some of them were donated and or purchased for that institution. My guess is maybe that best use will never be seen on some of these lands if those institutions know that the money won't come back, may not come back to them, might just go into the general fund, and they'd have no control over them. This, I agree with the earmarking idea, and the we shouldn't have, it's kind of like a heavy hammer over the legislature as to whether you can manage the state money when you earmark everything. This is a small amount. It's an unusual circumstance. We're looking for the best use of the land. And I think it could be an exception. The gentleman from across the hall that had concern over it as well expressed those very concerns on earmarking. This is a lesser amount, and we're trying to find a way of using the land most efficiently, I guess.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I don't know if the Common School Land Fund is the exact place to put it. That's where we keep most of our state trust lands. What I'm worried about is creating this perverse incentive for our institutions to want to sell chunks of their land to create a slush fund for that institution. No, I don't know if a slush fund's the right term, but a fund of dollars to be used for that institution. And that's a real concern to me. With respect to the issue of the donated lands, you know, if they're donated and donated to a specific purpose for an institution, then maybe they shouldn't be sold in the first place. I think it's for us to direct where our funds go, and I'm real concerned about the management of these lands in a way that creates some incentives that maybe we don't necessarily want, and so that's why I'm on and for the amendment.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. On and for the amendment. If there are lands in Fremont County or Washakie County or Uinta County that are owned by us, and but they're no longer used for their current usual, and by the way, it provides the definition of where these lands come from, at least the acquired institutional lands, means lands acquired by the state and for the benefit of the state institutions that shall not include school lands or other lands held in trust by the state of Wyoming. So this is a limited amount of property dealing with lands acquired by the state for the benefit of state institutions. So really what this is trying to do is saying if you have a state institution and we no longer need those lands for the state institution, we want to keep the lands there and pool it there for those institutions. Even though you can't read that into it when you read this, this is essentially what this bill is doing. And I would suggest that we should determine what those monies are used for and what the highest and best use is, not those institutions through a rulemaking, possibly through the land commissioner. So on and in favor of the bill, or of the amendment.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm on and against this amendment. On page 4, I would just remind everybody, it says any amount received for transactions involving such land shall be credited to a special revenue fund created for the department to be used upon further legislative appropriation for major maintenance and capital construction at that institution. And I think if you just remember that, it's not going into a slush fund. It goes into a fund that we approve for major maintenance and capital construction. That was the testimony given for our committee yesterday. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I rise in opposition to the amendment. Primarily, what the good speaker said, the incentive is a valid point, an incentive to sell or liquidate lands. I just don't think this is the right account. And I think, you know, when you do look at that definition of acquired institutional lands, you know, we're talking about for the benefit of the state's institutions, specifically excluding the schools. And so I don't know if this is the correct account. I really don't see a problem with having these funds for the acquired lands by the institutions going into, and we do this all the time with a coffee can for that agency, and that coffee can could be accessed only with the authorization of this legislature. I don't think that that whole process creates a huge incentive to rush out and liquidate these lands. I think most of these institutions, in the testimony we actually heard, these institutions require these lands, in particular the ag lands and the buffer zones around them. I'm not completely opposed with us making sure. Well, I mean, actually, I think it's important that the legislature keeps control of any of those funds. This is not the right fund to put them into, and so respectfully to the bringer of the amendment, I would ask this body to reject it.
Anyone else for their first time? For your first time. All right. Representative Teeters, for your second time.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem, and I appreciate all the good debate. My question would be, if this is not the proper account, I didn't hear any suggestion as to what the proper account would be. I think it makes good sense to use this account for this purpose. It's what it's always been used for, with the disposal of state property. Whether or not it's a large amount of money or a small amount of money, I think it's important that we are the ones that set good policy. And at the end of the day, I believe it is bad policy to allow state agencies to set up special revenue funds to earmark money. And so because of that, if these agencies need major maintenance money or capital construction money, we provide for that. That's our obligation as the chief appropriators. They come to us. They work it through our committee process. We appropriate the money. We're going to make sure that continues. I just think it's irresponsible for us to create earmarks with special revenue accounts, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Calling for the question, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 90, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair is in doubt. Please stand for aye. Opposed? Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 90 has failed. Let me just finish reading out the bill. Senate File 90 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Privilege of floor, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members, it's not very often we have somebody travel down all the way from Casper. You know, the county with number 1 on your license plates and number 1 in your heart. Now, we have some real special guests. Many of you might not know we have 3 high schools in Casper, and our third high school is the Roosevelt Bulldogs, and this is the 9th grade social studies class, Miss Nicole's class, and she's accompanied by Mr. Crabb and Miss Bickle as well. And so let's welcome these 9th grade social studies students from Roosevelt High.
Welcome Roosevelt High to the House. All right. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 99.
Senate File 99 is introduced by Senator Christensen, an act relating to water and sewer districts.
Senate File 99 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 113.
Senate File 113 is introduced by Senator Johnson, an act relating to insurance.
Senate File 113 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. The next bill for consideration is Senate File 115.
Senate File 115, as introduced by Senator Nutting, an act relating to child and adult protective services.
Senate File 115 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 146.
Senate File 146, introduced by Senator Escobel, an act relating to children.
Senate File 146 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 147.
Senate File 147 is introduced by Senator Kraft, an act relating to public health and hospitals.
Senate File 147 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 162.
Senate File 162 is introduced by Senator Kraft, an act relating to the taking of wildlife.
Senate File 162 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
We're now at that order of business of third reading and final passage. Consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate File 44, 46, 74, 78, 130, and 144.
Reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File number 44 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Military Department. Senate File number 46 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to domestic relations, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 74 from the Transportation Department, an act relating to professions and occupations, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File number 78 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Military Department, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File number 130 from Senator Landon, an act relating to professions and occupations, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File number 144 from Senator Von Flattern, an act relating to community college district boards, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Harvey. Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick. Summers.
Aye.
Stubson. Stubson. Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt. Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Harvey.
Excuse.
Harvey excused. Stubson.
Excuse.
Stubson excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58-aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 44, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Harvey? Aye. Madden? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 58-aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 46, are there any changes? Greer, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. Harvey,
aye.
Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 74, are there any changes? Greer, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Barlow, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Harvey, aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 5 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 78, are there any changes? Harvey? Aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 130, are there any changes? Harvey? Aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 144, are there any changes? Harvey? Aye. Harvey, aye. Yagi? Aye to no. Greer? Aye to no. Davison? Aye to no. Davison? Aye to no. Pieperinen? Aye to no. Reeder? Aye to no. Wallace? Aye to no. Watt? Aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Gingery, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Crone, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Petroff, aye to no. Stubson,
aye.
Stubson, aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 16 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 44, 46, 74, 78, 130, and 144 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 23.
Senate File 23 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to economic development, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 23 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup. Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Semlick,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
no.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 40 aye, 20 no.
Senate File 23 having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 23 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File 52 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles, be it acted by the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 52 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup. Nicholas.
No.
Northrup. Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitz or Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitz or Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Coleman, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 36 aye, 24 no.
Senate File 52, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 52 has passed the House. We're now at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. This is one I promised you about earlier. The Joint Conference Committee report is Joint Conference Committee report number one on Senate file or on House Bill 249. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move Joint Conference Committee report number one to House Bill 249 and ask for your aye. And this is pretty straightforward. You'll recall there was the difference was the House position required, and this is on the monies paid to county attorneys. Or to counties to fund their county attorneys. And in the House version, it was split evenly, essentially. If we underfunded, it would be split evenly between the 2 years during the biennium and then spent pro rata. The Senate position was that it would be fully funded in the first year of the biennium, and then the second year, what was left over would be spent pro rata. And we had some concerns that that would just set up a situation that the counties would run back and ask for more funding. We sat down with the Senate, talked with them, heard from the counties, and really, given that they are funded on an annual basis, this just made sense because it gave them a two-year warning where they could prepare in that first year for the shortfall in the second year. So what we did and what we recommend your aye vote on is we acceded to the position of the Senate, their amendment. So I would I'd take any questions, but ask for your aye vote.
Any further discussion? We're voting on Joint Conference Committee number one report to House Bill 249. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Gingery conflict.
Aye.
Goggles. Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
conflict.
Crone conflict, Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitz or Dan,
aye.
Zwanitz or Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 57 aye, 1 no, 2 conflicts.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 249. We're at that order of business of committee announcements. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Select Committee on Legislative Technology and Process We'll meet tomorrow, February 22nd at 8 a.m. in room 302.
Chairman's warrant, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today to discuss interim topics. Bring your calendar.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your conference committee on joint conference committee on House Bill 250, Public Employees Retirement Plans, will meet at 1 today. We're going to move that up a little bit so we can get started a little early, and that will be in room 204 at 1 o'clock today. Thank you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Conference Committee on House Bill 102, Hospitalization of Mentally Ill Persons, will meet immediately upon noon recess in room H17. And then tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., your committee number 10 will meet in room H17 with the Light Committee to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1 will meet right now with the Light Committee to discuss interim topics. And we had a great field trip this morning. We went to the Highway Patrol Dispatch Center. Representative Halverson got to dispatch some troopers where she wanted them to go. And we got to change the variable speed limit on Elk Mountain, so we confused some people.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. I just want to announce that we got a tour set for Saturday at 9. It should get over at 2. It's a tour of the Iron Mountain Hunt Management Program and the offices. So everybody's welcome, but I'd like to get a number of who's going to go. Thank you.
Chairman Simlett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 156, movement of livestock emergency situation, will meet at 1:30 in room H11. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. House will be in recess until 2 p.m.